Well, if you take your Bibles this morning and open them to Philippians chapter 4, as we continue our study through the book, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3 this morning, and spending some time looking at Paul's encouragement to the church to live in a right relationship with the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Father, I come to you tonight, today, and I just thank you, Father, that you're listening to our hearts. You're seeing, you've heard the praises that we've lifted up to you, Lord. You're right here in our presence, and I'm so grateful for that. Father, I pray that you'll take away anything in us that does not need to be here today, but instead just fill us totally with your Spirit so that we can hear you speak, Lord. I don't want to get in the way, Father. And I just want you to speak to me today. And I want you to speak to our folks. And I want you to speak to anyone who's listening. Because, Lord, I know you have a word to speak today. And I thank you for the encouragement that we have in Christ. Father, without you, we'd have nothing except religion. And that's not what we want. We want you. We want your presence. We want to hear from you. And I thank you, Lord, for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to be I'm going to ask you to be really honest and truthful with yourself today. Have you ever had a relationship that went south? you know what I mean by that. You know, it seemed like everything was going fine, and then things started kind of getting not so fine, and before long, it was not good at all. And you try to figure out what happened. You know, why did it take a terrible turn for the worse? And more often than not, when you analyze it and go through it, you realize that somebody in the relationship, and it never was you, was very selfish, and they wanted what they wanted. Well, the bottom line is, we all have that tendency to want what we want. And the only way that this relationship with the Lord works is if it's a right relationship. Because He doesn't do anything wrong. He does everything right. And so in the midst of that today, I want us to take a look at these verses in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and take a look at what it's talking about. First of all, a right relationship involves love. Based on love, period. Everything about God is love. Everything. Everything He does, everything He says, everything He's ever done or will ever do is based on love. And you might say, well, wait a minute, isn't He going to bring judgment upon the earth? Yes, He is. But it's based on His love. Everything about God is love. And so Paul, as he's writing to the church in Philippi, he begins this section by saying, therefore. Now, again, let's see what he's saying therefore about. If you go back just a few verses where we were last week, in verse 20 it says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. So Paul was encouraging them. Remember we talked about, ready or not, here I come. Jesus is going to come, and I believe he's going to come soon. I really do. I mean, the things in this world are changing it, and not just a little bit every so often. They are changing at warp speed. They are changing so quickly, quicker than people could have thought they would ever change. And I believe that the time for God to come will be very soon. Jesus will be coming and calling his people to himself. But it says, because of that very thing, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love, those I really love. The Greek term here is agapatoi. It is loved, but it's beloved. You are my beloved. You are the people that I have given myself to. You see, if you're in a relationship that you've given your life to someone else, you understand that term. It means they become more important than you. It means serving them and loving them and caring for them is more important than for yourself. And by the way, that's the only kind of relationship that will work. The others are doomed to fail. Unconditional love, agapatoi. He says there are no strings attached. In other words, I love you, period. I just love you. I'll never stop loving you. I will always love you. That's the kind of love God has for us. That can be manifested through his people to other people. And it should be manifested through us to other people. He uses the term brethren. You know, some people think, well, that's kind of gender specific or whatever. No, listen, it means we're in the same group. We're in the same family. We have family ties. And I think Wayne mentioned it early this morning when we were in Sunday school and going through Bible study in the book of Luke and talking about the fact that, hey, we're all here together. We're extended family. We're all a part of the same family. We are the family of God. We are blood relatives. The blood of Jesus bought us all. Now you might think, well, wait a minute, blood relatives, isn't that just like my... No, I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. You see, the blood of Jesus ties us all together. If you've asked Jesus to forgive you, to come into your life, to make you a new person, and you've given him your life, we are blood, born, bought, and paid for relatives. You're my brother, you're my sister. We're all in this together. And Paul is writing to them and he says, you are the ones whom I love. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says it like this. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I what? Love and I'm well pleased. It's the same word used. We are all part of this relationship together. Secondly says, not only are you the ones whom I love, you are the ones that I long for. I long for. The Greek term here is epipothoi, which means to pursue with love. Strong yearning. You are someone I would go after if I needed to go after you. You're the one that, hey, if you're in need, I'm going to come and be there for you. You're the one who, if you're in struggling with something, you can pick up the phone, you can come to my house, whatever it takes. I'm going to be there for you. I long for this relationship to grow. I long for this relationship to be what God has called it to be. The only place, by the way, this is the only place in Scripture that this actual word is used in the New Testament. In other words, Paul says, I don't want to be away from you. I want to be in your presence. I want to be there with you. I want to experience things with you. I want to grow with you. I want to experience the joy of the Lord with you. Paul, by the way, I mean, just if you stop and think about it for just a moment, most of Paul's evangelistic life was behind bars. I mean, how good do we have it? We can come and go. We can pick up the phone. We can get in the car and go, so we can do whatever we want to do, really. Not Paul. Chained to a soldier in the most horrible places you could imagine. He yearned, he longed to be with his brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want to be away from them, Paul's saying. I want to be with you. I long for you. I look forward to the day, if God allows me to be back with you again. I believe Christians should long to be together, to meet together, to fellowship with one another. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, we're in a pandemic. Yes, we are. We are. Do we need to be smart and safe? Yes. But we still need to gather together. That's why we have every other row cordoned off, and that's why we ask if you are going to be close to someone else to wear a face covering. We do what we're supposed to do, but we long to be with each other. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards what? Love, which brings good deeds." By the way, it isn't love and then doing good deeds to make sure that everybody... No, it comes from the love. Love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as what? You see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Folks, I mean, if you don't see the day approaching, you need to go back to the eye doctor and say, I need some new spiritual glasses. I need to see this. Because it's happening. It's happening. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And you might say, well, there's some people, they rub me the wrong way. Guess what? People always are going to rub somebody else the wrong way. It's just the way it is. But does that mean you stop loving them or don't love them at all? No. I tell you, I've had some folks in my family that, I mean, they just, you know, get on your last nerve, right? And I'm not going to mention any of them by name because they watch this online. No, just, no, I really don't have any terrible ones. But the bottom line is, they're really all very nice and sweet, all of them. But the bottom line is this. Hey, listen, it's not up to me. It's not up to my druthers. Not up to my wants. It's up to what God has done for me. I mean, if He had that kind of relationship, I mean, that attitude towards me, I'd be in big trouble. But instead, He so loved me that He was willing to do what He did for me on the cross. Paul is saying to the folks, listen, I love you and I long for you. My joy and my crown. Wow. He says, you guys are my joy. Do you ever just look at someone and all of a sudden the joy of the Lord just comes flowing through you? Happens to me a lot. He looks at this. He can't Skype from the jail or FaceTime from the jail time. But, you know, he remembers them in his mind and his heart. And he starts remembering, hey, you know, that person, I remember when they came to know the Lord. And I know that person, and I remember when they were having difficulties and the church came together and helped them through it. And I remember this person, and he longed for them because the joy was seeing what God had done and is doing in their lives. He'd led most of them to Christ. He had discipled and taught many of them while he was there. He'd seen them grow and mature. And by the way, folks, if something is not growing, it's dying. You can't just stay the same. It's like riding a bicycle. You're either going to be going forward or you're going to be falling over. It's the way it is. He had seen them grow and mature. His zappa is the Greek word, was exceeding pleasure. He wanted to see them so bad. I long for you. I long to be in your presence. You're my joy and my crown. The word crown is the Greek term stephanos, which is the mark of royalty that's given to the victor. He says, you're my crown. I don't need an earthly crown. You're my crown. You're my prize. And I'll say this, as long as God will allow me to, lost people are not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. Lost people are the prize. And every time God gives us an opportunity to share the good news with someone, we ought to. We ought to be telling them how awesome God is and how much He loves them. I remember there was a young man that was kind of living in the world. Well, let's just say it straightforward. I mean, he was living for himself and he was living in the world and he really didn't have any desire for the things of God because he thought that meant you have to go to church every Sunday and you have to sit there very quiet and you have to, you know, do certain things. And so he just, that wasn't for him. But so how do you reach a person like that? You reach them with the same way that God reaches you, with love. You just love them. Even when they don't do the right thing, you love them. And you share with them. And no matter what a person is like, they're going to go through tough times. And especially when they're living for themselves. And so this young man was going through a very difficult time. And I could have said, hey man, hope you get better. Talk to you later. But instead, just going and sitting down and letting him talk. Letting him cry. He was broken. I didn't have to say very much. Because me being there said everything. And it wasn't that night, but it wasn't long after that night. He started asking me about a relationship with the Lord. They're the prize. People are the prize. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20 says this, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Someday, when you're walking down the streets of gold, someone's going to come up to you and say, thank you. If you hadn't have told me, I wouldn't be here. And so Paul says, a right relationship with each other and with God is all, it's all centered on love. And secondly, a right relationship involves like-mindedness. What do you mean by that, Pastor? It means
I don't need you to think like I do, and I can't think like you do. That's not like-mindedness. What we both need is the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Christ. You see, if we have the mind of Rod, or if we have the mind of Wayne, or if we have the mind, you know, that's not going to help us. The reason is because our minds tend to get in the way of what God wants. Because we're selfish in nature. Is that true? We are. We're selfish. We're wanting in our own personal life. We have struggles. We have trials. We have problems, issues. And so many times we don't know exactly what we're supposed to do. We have disagreements with other people. We might have an argument with someone. And those things can affect not only you, but everybody around you, even the church, if you allow it to. Paul's saying, listen, the relationship that you have needs to be one that has the mind of Christ. So he says in verse 2, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other. How? In the Lord. Here's the deal. When he takes precedence, when he is lifted up, then all the other things will be taken care of. You see, because you can't have an argument with somebody else if both of you are seeking God. If you're really seeking God. We have different ideas, and we might have different thoughts or what we think, you know, how something ought to happen. That doesn't really matter. What matters is seeking His mind, what He desires. Listen, folks, churches have split over the color of a carpet in the new auditorium. They have. Now, I don't think we ought to get blue carpet. I think we ought to have green carpet like we had in the Oval. And people get mad, and they don't even come back to the church. And it's just like, wow, really? Seriously? We need the mind of Christ. A church with disharmony in the church is a dying church because it's not based on Christ. It's based on you and me, on people. It's going to die. Matthew chapter 5, this section, verses 22 through 26 says, I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, what should you do? Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then and come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. In other words, listen, folks, let's take care of issues by talking to each other, loving each other, seeking the mind of Christ, rather than what I want or what you want. So many times, things are torn up because of our own selfish needs and desires. We need the mind of Christ. Like-mindedness is His mind. It's not me and you getting on the same page, and so now we are like-minded. No, it's us getting on His page. If we seek Him first and His righteousness, then all the other things will be added to us as well. That's what Scripture tells us. It's not you having my mind. It's not me having your mind. We both need His mind. And that's why Paul put it this way in verse 2. He pleased with Euodia and Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Have the mind of Christ. Like-mindedness with Him. Not with each other, with Him. If you have it with Him, then we're going to be on the same page. Thirdly, a right relationship involves something deep. Look at what verse 3a says. It says, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow. Loyal yoke fellow. Help these women who have contended at my side. Loyal yoke fellows. These are people who labored together. The Greek term here is sugios, which means yoked together or bound together. Even the picture of being bound together in marriage. It's really a difficult and a tragic thing to look at most relationships in today's society and what's being taught to our children through those relationships. Hey, if it doesn't work out, just get a divorce. If things don't work out the way you want them to, hey, you can leave. The problem is not in the midst of the marriage. The problem is from the beginning of the marriage and what it's based upon. That's the problem. And if the marriage is not based upon the rock, then what's going to happen? It's going to fall. In the same way, our relationship with Christ has to be the rock of what we're bound together about. And so he calls out Euodia and Syntyche, who had labored with him to win people to Jesus. And evidently they were having a tiff. They were having a little problem with each other. That's natural. Sometimes we just don't always get along with somebody else. Even in a close relationship. Sometimes we just can't see things the way we ought to see them. And our selfishness comes to the top. Isn't it funny how that always boils up to the top? It's not really funny, is it? And so he says to them, listen, you're the guys who were with me out there winning people to Jesus. So, bottom line is, Paul's asking them to take a step back and look at what he's saying. What's important here? You having a disagreement with each other or winning people to Jesus? I don't even think that's an issue. It shouldn't be. And so he's trying to bring their attention back to this. I can tell you folks that the devil will use any tactic he can to cause that to stop. What? Telling people about Jesus. He will use anything he can. Why? Because he doesn't want anybody to know about Jesus. He doesn't want anybody to give their life to Jesus. He hates Jesus. Have you ever thought about why Satan hates Jesus so much? Huh? He's jealous. That's one reason. What else? He believes that he should have been exalted. If you go back in Ezekiel and read that passage, that's exactly what happened. He fell because he believed he ought to be getting the glory and the honor. And be like God. Like God. There is no one like God except God Himself. And so He tried everything He could while Jesus was here on this earth and doing His ministry to try to mess it up. He tried in every way that he could try. And He couldn't do it. So He brought the people together against Jesus. And had him killed, thinking, hey, this is going to do. I finally figured it. I'm just going to have him killed. I win. And Jesus says, no. I'm going to let you have 3 days to think about this and revel in what you think is glory and victory. But then I'm rising from the grave. He calls these folks loyal yoke fellows because they're bound together in this together. Any of you that know anything about old-time farming, before they had tractors, they had what? They had plows. And how those plows get along? They had oxen or mules, either one, that would pull those plows. And my granddad had one of those plows with two old mules. And folks, trying to drive those mules, pulling that plow, is not an easy thing. And if one of the mules worked and the other one didn't, it wouldn't work. And you know, mules can be stubborn. Here we are. If God is calling us to work together and some don't, it doesn't work. Loyal yoke fellows, fellow workers. Folks, we've got to work together. There is no letter I in the word team. God has called us to be a team, a body of Christ. He's called us to work together. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You know what, folks? Honestly believe that one of the reasons that there are not as many people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord is because we don't ask the Lord to send the workers. And you might say, oh, so he's going to send us extra people. Not necessarily. He may be sending you. Are you a worker? That's a question. Are you a worker? There's different kinds of people in the church. There's workers and there's others. God's called us into the ministry field. And they are white unto harvest. And so if you pray that prayer to send workers into, you're saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Then in the last part of verse 3, he talks about a right relationship involving a list. Look at what it says here. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke folk, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, those whose names are in the book of life. Whose names? Is your name mentioned in the Lamb's book of life? Will your name be read on that day? You might say, well, Pastor, how can I know that? I mean, that's a valid question. How could you know if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? I can tell you the truth. You can know it because God has written your name there for a reason. And the only way it can be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life is if you do not choose to follow Jesus. God has given every single person an opportunity to be with Him. Every person. That's why I know that when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't die for a select few. He died for the whole of the universe. He loves every person. You see, it even goes back to the core of who God is. How can you say that God loves some people better than other people? My God is not a segregated God. He doesn't love just the Jews. He doesn't love just people who are good. He doesn't love people who look like me or like you. He loves all people of every place in the world who have ever lived, every person. He loves them all. And I believe their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Greek term is Zoas, which means among the living, not among the dead. Eternal life. It's called the Book of Life. Zoas. It's the same word used in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have Zoas. Life. And have it to the full. Jesus says, I have come so that every person who is alive physically can live forever. Will you be among the eternal living or among the eternal dying? That's the question. Paul says, listen, disagreements, issues, what are they worth in comparison to eternal life or eternal death? Folks, we've got to understand that the only reason that God allows us to continue to meet together, to study God's Word, to understand what He has for us to do, is so that people can come to know Jesus. Period. It's not just so that we can have a good time together. It's not so that we can just meet together and sing and pray and all that kind of stuff. We enjoy those things. I enjoy them. But that's not the whole purpose. The purpose is so that we can be then encouraged to go forward and do what God has called us and commissioned us to do. And as reach people for Jesus. And I really think we ought to do this. We ought to put a sign over our outside doors on the inside of the door saying, you're leaving today, entering the mission field. Just as a reminder for us to remember, I'm not going home right now. I'm not going to my job right now. I'm not going out to eat today right now. What I'm doing is I'm going into the ministry field, and every person I see is a possibility for me to share Jesus with. Folks, that's what it's all about. Paul says, listen, don't get caught up in two women who are having a problem with each other. Big deal, that happens all the time. Right? Not just women. I'm not just saying women. But the fact is this. We've got to be caught up in His purpose for us. And that is to be going and telling the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray.